Over the last three Sundays, we've been in a series here that we've just called Simply Christmas. The idea being that in the midst of the Christmas season, we often just get really chaotic. And things, our schedules pile up with craziness. This party, that party, this extra event, that extra event, the shopping, the baking, the cleaning up, the everything that goes into all that. And it's important for us just to kind of take a deep breath and simplify things. And so that very first week, we said, if we really simplify it down, Christmas is really all about love. It's about the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's one of the verses that almost everybody, if they know any verse of the Bible at all, that's the one they know. And it really sums up Christmas. And then we talked about another word that kind of simplified what Christmas was this idea of rest. Or the fact that Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, the one who would set things right, that would make it possible for us to have peace with God so our heart could be at rest. And then from that relationship with God, we could have peace with each other. We could have peace even with ourselves. An incredible gift. And then just on this past Sunday, we talked about another word that helped us simplify Christmas, and that was celebrate. We talked about the joy that is possible because of what Jesus did, and that we can have a joy that goes beyond really any of our daily circumstances, which, if we are honest about it, sometimes are less than exciting or less than happy. But we learned that happiness is not the same as joy, and that Jesus is what brings joy. Tonight, I want us to think about one last word to help us simplify what Christmas is about, and that word is anticipate. Now, I don't know about you, but Christmas Eve is a time for anticipation. At least, I don't know what your family tradition is. My family tradition growing up was there were no presents under the tree until Christmas morning. I know some families, you know, have their Christmases on Christmas Eve, and that's great. Kind of takes away the anticipation of Christmas Eve. But for me growing up, it was all about that anticipation, all of those Christmas songs that talked about it hard for the little kids to sleep at night because of the things, the visions that were in their head. I never really had visions of sugar plums, but there was stuff up there that made it hard for me to sleep because it was a night of anticipation. We'd go to bed with nothing under the tree except for the nativity set, and when we woke up, there would be presents, and it would be so exciting. Well, this year, or this holiday season anyway, there is another reason for, has been for some people, another reason for anticipation. Any Star Wars fans out there? All right. Any of you Star Wars fans that are fans but haven't yet seen the movie? See, Chase, I told you we weren't the only person in the world. There are other people. All right. The whole Star Wars phenomenon was crazy. Like the first ones, you know, came out, you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s, and some of you were old enough to go to the theater and see those. And then after those were over, it was 16 years before the next trilogy set came out. And for those diehard Star Wars fans, that 16 years was just killing them. All right. And then after that next trilogy, it was 10 long years before just the last week when the new trilogy opened. Chase, our teenage son, informed us a few months ago that it was his intent to go on the Thursday, the opening night, because he was anticipating this release of the new Star Wars. Well, unfortunately, he did not realize that his mother had bought concert tickets for that Thursday night, and so we were watching Straight No Chaser last Thursday night. Shout out to Straight No Chaser, right? They're pretty good. But that meant, and since there was still a day of school left, that we would have to go, if we were going to go see the movie, we were going to have to go after the concert, which was going to be like 10:30 at the earliest, or 10 o'clock maybe at the earliest, but the 10 o'clock show was sold out, and the 10:30 show was sold out, and the 11 o'clock show was sold out, and the first one that we could have went to was 11:30. Now, we're bad parents, but we're not going for the Bad Parent of the Year award to keep our kids up till 3 on the night before finals, so we didn't do that. So we didn't get to see it. So then there was a ball game on Friday night, and then the kids had things on Saturday, and we had another ball game on Saturday night, and so our next chance to go see the movie was on Sunday after church, and so we made a plan. You know, after church, we were going to go grab something to eat real quick, go to the 1:30 show. I just assumed that all the crazy people, you know, that were selling out the shows on Thursday and Friday and Saturday would have already seen it, and that would be no problem. But when we got to the theater at 20 after 1, guess what? Sold out. That's exactly right. There were more crazy people than I thought. And we had events that night, and then the kids were going to visit friends, and so we still haven't seen it, all right? So that anticipation was still building for our family. We're going to try to see it even after tonight. Nothing says Merry Christmas like going to the late show on Christmas Eve to see Star Wars. That's our hope. You're all welcome to come, but only after we get our tickets, all right? So no, nobody can come before that. As much as people anticipate that, the Israelites, the Jewish people, waited a whole lot longer than that for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Jesus. It wasn't just the 400 years between the end of the Old Testament, that last verse of Malachi, where Malachi the prophet prophesies about John the Baptist coming to make the way for Jesus. It wasn't just the 400 years between that and when the Gospels come and when Jesus was actually born. It actually went further, way further back than that. It went back to the time of Abraham, when Abraham was promised by God that through his family, the whole world would be blessed. It went back to the time of David, who was promised that his kingdom would be an everlasting kingdom, and everyone, all the Jewish people, understood that both of those promises were a direct prophecy for the coming Messiah. The prophecies had been there, and now the children of Israel had to wait and wait and wait. More than just 10 years and then a few months of heightened anticipation and then another week or so of waiting for a movie. These folks had waited year upon year upon year for the coming of the Messiah. There were lots of prophecies out there. You're familiar with some of them, even if you don't know that you are. The prophecy of David's heir becoming the Messiah, that's the reason why Mary and Joseph had Jesus in Bethlehem instead of Nazareth, where they were living. Why? Because Bethlehem was the house, was the city of David. And since Adam was an heir of David, and therefore Jesus would be as well. You know that because of the story in Luke chapter 2 that the census required everybody to go back to their hometown. You also know it from Matthew chapter 2. And we're just going to read part of this familiar part of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2 says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That prophecy that those folks were telling about was written by the prophet Micah some 700 years earlier. And so all of the prophecies about the coming Messiah, and there were over 300 of them, had been written, and they were just waiting and waiting to be fulfilled. And so if you think waiting a few years or months or days for a movie was something, the Israelites had waited literally over 2,000 years for the coming of the Messiah. And so they waited, and they waited with anticipation, and they waited with a thing called hope. Now, hope, when the Bible talks about it, is not the way we use it sometimes. We say it as if it's a simple wish. I hope I get something good for Christmas. I hope Indiana wins the NCAA tournament. I hope I lose 10 pounds. I hope this guy up there doesn't talk very long. We use it all kinds of ways like that, when it's just kind of a wishful thinking kind of an idea, right? Because it's probably not going to happen. But that's not what the Bible talks about when it talks about hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it's a confident expectation of what's to come. A confident expectation of what's to come. And I love the way one person put it, that hope is faith standing on tiptoe. Isn't that a cool idea, that hope, this biblical idea of hope, is faith of knowing what God has said and what God has promised, and you believing that, and you're standing on tiptoe, just anticipating, just waiting for that something to happen. Well, that is how the Israelites had been waiting year after year, decade after decade, century after century, and for literally 2,000 years, they were waiting with hope and anticipation for the coming Messiah, especially in the first century when it actually happened. They were being under Roman rule, and they were looking for the Messiah to come and rescue them and to redeem them. They were waiting with hope and anticipation. Now, I don't have to tell you that it's not, you don't have to look very far around in our world. You don't have to read too many headlines. You don't have to know much of what's going on out there to realize that hope is kind of hard to find. In fact, if we were going to describe kind of our culture and our society and even our whole country, hope is probably not one of the first few words that you would come up with. In fact, because of the way things are going, you might say despair is a better descriptive term for how things are truly going and how people are actually feeling. But I'd like to suggest tonight that the antidote for that kind of despair, no matter what negative thing is happening, is this idea of hope, and this idea of anticipation. And really, it has to do with the whole idea of Advent. Most people know Advent. Maybe you've got an Advent calendar, and it kind of counts down the days until Christmas. And most of us think that that's really what it is. It's just a countdown to Christmas. But traditionally, through the last couple thousand years, Christians have celebrated Advent not just as a counting down to when remembering the time that Jesus was born, but also a remembering and a reminding to look forward to the time when he would come again. In just the same way that the first century Jews were looking for the Messiah to come and to put things right and to, they thought, get rid of the Roman rule because they had kind of misunderstood what was going on. But in the same way that they were looking and hoping and having faith on tiptoe that the Messiah would come, we are instructed as God's people to be looking forward to when he would come again. Just the same way that they were looking to his first coming, we are to look to his second coming as our hope. That's kind of what Advent is all about. This hope, the Bible talks about, I'm just going to look at a couple verses. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes that we live this life while we wait for what he called the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, when Jesus comes again to set things right. The Hebrews writer says, we have this hope that Jesus is going to come back, not just that he came once, but that he is going to come back and set things right. We have this hope, listen to this, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. There's only one firm and secure anchor for our soul. The world is very chaotic. The world is full of despair. Maybe you came in tonight full of chaos, full of despair, thinking, really, what is the purpose to life? Is this all there is to it? Is there any hope in the world? Christmas is God's emphatic answer that indeed there is hope. Indeed there is something worth anticipating. Indeed there is something worth having the faith that stands on tiptoes and waiting for. Because just like he fulfilled the promise of sending Jesus, he also will fulfill the promise to send Jesus again and to set things right, to put things back the way they are supposed to be. Hope is the confident expectation that Jesus is coming back to set things right. That's what Christmas is all about. Not just remembering, and we'll do that, remember that Jesus came as a baby, but the confident expectation that he is returning again, not as a baby, but as a glorious returning king, going to put things right and to set things straight, to be the Prince of Peace and restore that shalom. The danger is we have short attention spans, don't we? I mean, that's why you're already looking at your watch thinking, is he done yet? All right, we have short attention spans. The Israelites waited thousands of years, and we get tired of waiting. In fact, that was prophesied. Peter wrote it this way. He said, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that was promised? For ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And that's the the risk. That's the danger, that we get so caught up in our daily lives, get so caught up in the despair of this world, get so caught up in the bad news that is so prevalent, not just in the world, but sometimes in our own lives, that we forget and we lose hope. And we say, yeah, I know he said he's coming, and I know he said he's going to put things right, but it just doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem like it's actually going to happen. This evening, as we think about celebrating the birth of Jesus tomorrow, my encouragement to you is to remember that that's not the only promise that God fulfilled, and the only promise that he wants you to remember at Christmas. He also wants you to remember that he promised that Jesus would return to set things right. That is the promise of Christmas. That is the hope of Christmas. That is the joy of Christmas. And so, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, we celebrate his coming at Christmas, but we look forward and anticipate his coming again. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for giving us hope in a hopeless world. God, thank you for giving us something to anticipate, because God, sometimes the daily experience in our life is not positive, and it's not happy, and it's not hopeful. God, thank you for being greater than our circumstances. Thank you that your promises are true, and that just like you fulfilled hundreds of promises and prophecies that Jesus would be born, you will one day also fulfill hundreds more prophecies that he will return to make things right. We thank you for that. In our Savior Jesus' name, amen.